Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, Gay Semiotics, a photographic trip back to 1977. Gay Semiotics is an iconic set of 24 photographs with embedded text, presented as a tongue-in-cheek anthropological essay on the codes of sexual orientation and identification that photographer Hal Fisher saw in San Francisco in the 1970s. The photos, categorized into archetypal media images, signifiers, street fashion, and fetish, capture a pivotal moment in the city's history before the assassinations of Harvey Milk and George Moscone and the devastation wrought by AIDS. They're on view for the first time in San Francisco since their initial exhibition in 1977 at Ratio 3 Gallery on Mission Street near 24th. Coupled with the gallery photo exhibit is a reinstallation of Fisher's full-size billboard, A Salesman, a reclining male nude with black bar over the eyes and a large phone number. The billboard is up now through June 28th on Market Street between Guerrero and Octavia, within blocks of its original 1979 location. Here with me and out in the Bay studio to talk about Gay Semiotics and his other works, Queer Life in San Francisco in the 1970s and the changes in gay signifiers over the last 40 years, is photographer Hal Fisher. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you.
And also with us is Ratio 3 Gallery Associate Director Theo Elliott to fill us in on why Ratio 3 chose to show Fisher's work now, about the reemerging interest in 1970s art, and more about the Ratio 3 Gallery. Theo Elliott, welcome to Out of the Bay.
Thanks for having me.
So thanks, both of you, for being here. Let's get a little bit more description than the brief one that I just gave of Gay Semiotics. What does this body of work include generally? We can get into some detailed descriptions of some of the photos a bit later. And what inspired you to create it?
Well, I think the work basically encompasses what was my community in the 1970s. What I think was unique about the work compared to what other people were doing is that I took a very conceptual approach to the community. So all of the work, as you mentioned, had text on it, and or as you said, the anthropological, or we might even say the faux anthropological sense of it, is that I was trying to approach this very systematically, not comprehensively necessarily, because it is very much a look at the community in which I lived at that point. And I think that in so many ways, that period was like, looking back, was like a golden age. I mean, it was really the pre-AIDS era. It was the establishment, I mean, certainly the Castro community, it was the height of the whole gay immigration to San Francisco, and people really finding, you know, their identity. And on a personal level, that's what was happening with me. And so the work was also very personal and very celebratory.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's give some examples. You just mentioned a minute ago about how there's some text on the works, and it's sort of this faux anthropological thing. I just happen to have a book sort of the work open to the page about keys. I don't know if you want to read this or should I read it? But like, let's describe this photo. You're seeing two male. You know, from a little bit above the knees to a little above, like maybe halfway up the torso, right? In Levi's jeans with keys dangling off the sides. And it says, keys are an understood signifier for homosexual activity. A keychain worn on the right side of the body indicates that the wearer desires to play a passive role during a sexual encounter. Conversely, keys placed on the left side of the body signify that the wearer expects to assume a dominant position. Keys are also worn by janitors, laborers, and other workers with no sexual signification intended. And there's a similar one about handkerchiefs and how handkerchiefs can be an indicator of sexual preference, or it could be just used to blow your nose. Although you don't use the word blow your nose, actually. You're a little more technical than that.
Well,
professorial, shall I say?
Something about removing nasal discharge, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
The terminology?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think you've hit on a couple different things here. First of all, at that point in time, these signifiers, they did mean what I wrote. I mean, people were very much using handkerchiefs and using these codes. At the same time, if you moved out of the gay community and saw these things, they didn't mean this. So the signifiers were specific to the culture mm-hmm. in which they were being used. I think when we're talking about the nasal discharge, I was really using humor. I like the idea of communicating this, and none of the photos are really voyeuristic. They're specific, but they're benign at the same time. Even the fetish pictures and the things that are S&M related are very staged. I mean, a lot of the pictures refer to art historical types. Mm-hmm. And I wanted people to look at the pictures, and I wanted them also to see it from a distance and then get in there and start reading the text and sort of go, what's this actually about? And then you've got this punchline about, like, nasal discharge, which sort of disarms people.
Right, right. It could mean all this stuff, but then it could just mean nothing, yeah. essentially.
And all of a sudden they step and go, oh, I can't believe I'm looking at this and actually reading this. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the things about seeing the work being exhibited again is seeing people really engage with it and laugh and have fun with it.
Okay. Back off just a tiny bit from the microphone. Thanks. Just I guess we should explain just very briefly, you know, what the Hanke Code was all about, because a lot of listeners listening may not know about this. And even, you know, I mean, even I suppose a lot of gay people today might not know the way it was in the 70s, where different colors meant specific sexual activities, and whether you wore it in your right pocket or your left pocket meant whether you were active or passive. That's – well, there, I guess I just gave a brief explanation.
Well, there was also the Trading Post Emporium in San Francisco, which is where I – did a lot of my fetish photographs, and they actually published a little sort of folded business card that gave the codes of all the handkerchiefs.
Right. Okay. Which color meant what and all those things. Okay. Thea, let me ask you, why did Ratio 3 choose to show these photos? What's about this work that drew the gallery to put this exhibition on?
Sure. I guess just I should start by saying that Ratio 3 is a contemporary art gallery, so in most cases our exhibitions are by actively working artists, and the work will have been made maybe in the previous 2 years to being exhibited. So this kind of doing a historical show is a little bit of an oddity for us. What really struck us about the work was that like anything that we show, we want there to be a sense that the artwork is participating in some sort of dialogue or dealing with ideas that are relevant or even urgent today. So first, approaching this work, I'd expected maybe mostly a nostalgic feeling or something strictly historical. But like Hal mentioned, the sort of tongue-in-cheek, humorous angle of the work still resonates very much today. And if anything, it adds something. It still feels urgent while at the same time being nostalgic. So mm-hmm. I guess in a nutshell, the gallery just really saw a rich offering, of something, both retrospective, but also in a way providing a framework of patterns that you still see playing out today. Maybe not literally handkerchiefs and keys, but it's in human nature to signify in some way or another.
Tell us a little bit more about this photo that's on the back of the book, and it's sort of the iconic photo of this exhibit in a way. That's one, as you say, it's featured when you walk in. Signifiers for a male response. Can you, how can you describe that to us?
Well, that is sort of the archetypal photograph where I photographed. Now, again, this individual, he has an earring, he has the keys, he has the handkerchief. He's got the full complement of items. And so it was sort of the summation picture of all of the signifiers in one place. And
it's got labels, left aggressive, right passive, earring, handkerchief, keys. It doesn't say on this one. One of the other ones talks about the basic gay male street image. I think that's not quite the right wording, fashion.
Well, that was the fashion there's this, the one that we're talking about now was part of the Signifier series, and then it didn't use narrative description, it just used titling for each of these things. And then so it's like it's the opening photo, and then you go to the handkerchiefs and it picks up on it and then explains the handkerchiefs or explains the keys or explains the earring. So it sort of set the stage. And in the same way, the basic gay photo set the stage for the fashion pictures, which I should mention that I didn't costume anyone. This is how people that I saw were dressed. And I asked them, some of them were friends, and I asked them, could I photograph them? Others.
So you didn't say, like, I want you to put on clothes that I've seen other people wearing. This is clothes that these models were actually did wear in their lives.
Yes, and it's kind of funny because it's been interesting to see the younger generation really embrace the work. I had some concerns initially because this, I wasn't sure in terms of political correctness. This body of work is not showing people of color. There's not lesbians. And I didn't know if, you know, people would come forward and be critical. But people have been able to really understand it in the context and understand the personal nature of it. But I was showing it in my neighborhood, the Lower Haight, and I was in one of my local shops, and somebody who's, I mean, not even 40, is look at the basic gay, and he's going, well, that's all wrong. He's wearing Converse sneakers. And I started laughing because I go, you weren't even alive, you know, at this point. You know, I mean, I love that he had an opinion about it. I just found it very funny. But the fact is, Bill Basic Gay, that was exactly what he wore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now it's what pretty much everybody I see come into the gallery wears, you know, gay or not. It's
Converse kind of, have definitely come back.
Certainly. I mean, in the, you know, in the slim Levi's and the zip-down hoodie, it's just funny to see how some of the styles that Hal has featured have definitely kind of, you know, gone extinct, but others have sort of been picked up and become ubiquitous. You know, they're maybe signifying nothing in particular anymore. It's just appropriated style at this point.
Well, I'm curious, in the art world and in the fashion world, it seems like we're seeing a lot of, and in, you know, entertainment, we're seeing a lot of 70s, a whole lot of retro stuff come back. It all smells like, does anybody have any new ideas anymore? But that's my cynical comment. but, I mean, what do you think about that, either of you? I mean, are there people coming back to see it because they feel like they've missed out on something and they want to capture some of it or get a taste of it?
Well, Theo and I may have different takes on this, not contradictory. I've had two very specific experiences, three actually, or two and a half. The first is people in my age group that are alive and are survivors are looking at it, and there's, in a way, there's a nostalgia. And there's a memory of not only what it was like to be gay at that time, but how much fun it was to be in San Francisco in the 70s. So that's one aspect of it. But I've also, with younger gay people, seen them really respond to it very positively, because there is a very big move towards reclaiming gay culture in a very expanded way, and they see this as a piece of it. And finally, I've had people come up to me that have just, and this happened to me in Europe, that we're talking about the work just in terms of being the 70s and saying you captured something that was really part of the 70s. And I think that where this, another avenue of this is that the 70s in terms of the art world in California was a period of incredible experimentation and exploration, and this work is part of that, and a lot of that doesn't exist anymore. So people remember it fondly.
You're listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are photographer Hal Fisher, whose iconic 1977 photo series "Gay Semiotics" is now on display at Ratio 3 Gallery in San Francisco's Mission District, and Ratio 3 Associate Director Theo Elliott. The exhibit is up through June 27th, Saturday of Pride Weekend, and Fisher will be speaking at the gallery on Friday evening, June 26th. You can learn more on Ratio 3's website, ratio3.org. And also there's this billboard up, this billboard called A Salesman. So tell us about that. This is on view right now on Market Street, just above the Pisco Lounge and the Destino restaurant between Guerrero and Octavia. And describe it for us a little bit.
We should probably explain the context, that this was in a show, a billboard exhibition in 1979 that was created by the Eyes and Ears Foundation. And to show how far things have come or not come, I should also say it was funded by the NEA, which I can't imagine happening in this day and age. Mm-hmm. And I really approached it as the idea was a billboard, and came up with this idea of doing this reclining male nude figure. And that related to two things. One was the very iconic Burt Reynolds centerfold for Cosmopolitan magazine, which in terms of contemporary culture, when that came out in the early 70s, I mean, nobody had seen a naked man, much less Burt Reynolds, in a magazine. So that was one cultural touch point. The other one was,
how would you describe Burt Reynolds for folks who are young enough to not know who he is?
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, he was an actor. I mean, he's still around.
Big name actor.
But a big
kind
name
of a macho
actor,
guy.
He was a good looking man. Very hairy. Definitely bare. But had a good physique. And he is like sprawled out in the centerfold on, a bearskin rug. And I actually pretty much replicated the pose. And for me, there was a very specific moment that came out when I was in college, and I was in the closet, and I mean, all of a sudden there's this man, this naked, good-looking man. I mean, obviously had an impact on me. So there was that, but there was this other piece that was very local, that there was a department store, a men's department store, Grodin's in San Francisco, and they were doing billboards of reclining men dressed, wearing the fashions. I tend to remember them not having socks on. There was definitely a sexual undertone to these pictures. So I played off both of those, and then I put a salesman and I put a phone number on, and actually it was hanging almost at the corner of Castro and Market, and it caused an incredible stir. I mean, it hit the media since it came out. And,
great publicity stunt. Was this your idea? Were you hoping to generate publicity?
I know. I was just doing it. I remember we were all the mock-ups for the billboards. There were like, I think, seven or eight of us in the show. I was hanging them at what was then the San Francisco Museum of Art down in the old War Memorial building. And the media all showed up there to interview me. And it was a great deal of fun. And I know that some people got very irate because they couldn't figure out what this was, and they assumed that it was a sex ad. I mean, people were just kind of taken aback, and they had to call this phone number, which I will not divulge what the phone number
Oh, well, I
you,
know what it was.
But it was pretty amusing because I thought...
Unfortunately, if you dial that number now, you don't get that recording anymore.
I got it.
Do you still?
You still get it.
It's a little different.
The area code.
But yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
well, I'll have to
but
try
what
it.
Was really funny is we were... Theo, I remember talking about this. The guy, this would be really funny. Somebody's going to get all these calls from that number. And I thought, what's funny until they sue me? And, and then I thought, I better call this number. And I was really kind of relieved that it does exactly the same thing
today. Yeah.
There was also one other.
Can we tell the phone number without giving the letters? If anybody wants to try dialing it at home,
I don't have the phone number on me.
Well, I could look on the keypad. Never mind.
Okay.
It's not that big of a deal. You got to go down and see it. Go down and see it for yourselves. It's on Market Street, on the I guess it would be the south side of Market Street as you're heading down towards downtown between
just
Guerrero.
Past Guerrero. Yeah,
just past Guerrero. You got to watch out. The trees are in full leaf right now, so it's kind of hidden behind the trees. But you can get a full view of it.
Chop that thing down.
There was one other little piece of it too. The model was actually a salesman, a sales clerk on Castro Street.
In one of the stores there.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, around the same time, I recall, I think I was around high school somewhere, there were some athletes who were doing underwear ads at that time. Were these also kind of in that related thing? Did they come before or after you?
It was
inspired by...
definitely the emergence...
Hanes?
...of the male... the objectification of the male body, which really was new in terms of mass media.
Right, right, right. Now we get to be exploited too. That's equality for you, right? Yeah. Not just women anymore.
We've
we all get
exploited.
Way. We've come a long way, baby.
Well, it was funny too. You know, as Hal and I started talking about, you know, maybe we could revisit, in addition to Gay Semiotics, some other project, and the Billboard project came up. And we were talking about how at that time it had these weird resonances, you know, with these existing ad campaigns and images. And it occurred to us, we were we'd been seeing these ads. I think they're still up actually, for some sort of tech talent. You see these on the overpass.
Yes.
It says looking for the hottest
tech talent.
Tech talent, and
right.
It's these, you know, kind of, you know, nerdy type, you know, programmers in their underwear reclining, and I believe a lot of them are actually, you know, grayscale, black and white. And
mm-hmm.
we just thought,
you
know, how fortunate that there's actually, once again, an ad campaign that kind of plays off of the imagery of a salesman.
So, right.
At that point, it kind of, you know, sealed the deal. We had to
have it up.
We had to put it up again.
So you can see this on this, and you can also see it in the gallery. So you can sit on Market Street, and you could also see, I guess it's a little bit smaller, but in the gallery.
No, full
it's the
scale.
Same, it's full size
full
in the
scale.
Gallery. Tell the gallery's address, would you?
It's at 2831 A Mission Street. It's just across from the 24th Street BART station. You just look for the all-black doors, and that's us.
Yeah, it's not well signed, so take that address and go to the website, and because you got to sort of sleuth it out a little.
It's
I almost walked
hidden,
right past
hidden
it.
Gem.
Okay. So a couple more questions. What do we have gay signifiers left anymore? What do you think today, Hal? What about you, Thea? What do you think? Is it easy to tell?
I'm glad I'm not a player because I'll tell you, I really can't tell. I mean, I think it morphed into, you know, metrosexuality basically. And periodically over the years, people would say to me, oh, wouldn't you want to do this again? And I said, absolutely not. Because I think other than in, you know, the S&M subculture, I mean, in the mainstream gay culture, you're just not going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these straight men got really sensitive. So I, you know, and everybody's all huggy. And so I don't know who's gay anymore.
We went to the gallery with my boyfriend, and there was Theo in his very nice print flowered shirt, and I think wearing Levi's, and I just assumed, you know, especially in the context of that setting, that he's gay, and then I find out he's not. So
well, you and I found out at the same time today via
apparently
email.
Just this afternoon. How does it feel to come out of straight these days? Is it difficult?
You know, living in San Francisco, it's funny. I feel like I have almost that exact opposite experience, especially running in the circles I do, you know, in the art world.
In the art world, sure.
I live in the Castro.
Uh-huh.
I feel like more often I have to disappoint people that I'm not gay. probably not the same story as the era of Gay Semiotics.
What about lesbians at the time? Were there lesbian signifiers that were as obvious to you? I mean, apparently you weren't interested in photographing them because that wasn't your life, but I'm just curious if that was part of the, you know, knowledge, common knowledge then.
Yes, there were, and I'm thinking because a friend of mine who did the documentary film Paris Poirier on Last Call at Maud's, and I mean, there were women that you, I mean, could certainly identify basic archetypes, I mean, the butch type, but the fact of the matter was, and is that the Castro at that point was really a young, gay, white, male enclave. And it's not that there weren't some women there, but this so overwhelmed, and, you know, we could get into the underbelly of some of this because the amount of also prejudice that existed in the community at that time. And, you know, people of color, you know, you'd walk into a bar, you know, and then the person behind you, if they were a person of color, is asked for like six, you know, forms of ID or, you know, at the club bows. So, you know, it is much more it was not multicultural.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell us what's going to happen on Friday the 26th. You're going to be, Hal will be interviewed by this
Larry Rinder.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
Larry Rinder is the director of the Berkeley Art Museum. Pretty prolific career as a curator. And we're going to have him in the gallery 6:30 p.m. That's June 26th. It's a Friday night with Hal Fisher. And, yeah, we're just going to kind of let him run wild, ask Hal as many questions as he can come up with. It's open to the public. Seating will be limited. But people will also be free to, you know, get a few questions in if they have something they want to ask Hal or if they want to ask Larry as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
And we won't be limited by the airwaves, so
That's right. Anything is
fair game for discussion.
Yeah, we can say dirty words.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wait, that reminds me. Now, I have to ask you this because we talked about this before. We can say this without saying any dirty words. So, but the Levi's jeans, you got interviewed recently by the Levi's company is making a documentary about the 501 specifically?
They're doing different web segments. I was brought in for the 501
mm-hmm.
segment.
And they specifically wanted your take on the gay angle on 501 jeans, which
were
the Levi's. If you were going to wear Levi's in the 70s, at least, it had to be 501s. And
exactly.
I remember when I was in college at UC Berkeley, I was still in high school, actually, but I remember there was a day on campus, because I lived near UC Berkeley campus, that, oh, if you wear Levi's today, that means you're gay. Well, of course, everybody was wearing Levi's, so it was one of those, like, I don't know, kind of, it was interesting. And tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, I had a lot of fun. I think that they came upon my work through the gallery, and this really... I think they were very excited to find somebody who also was alive, because we've also had emails come in thinking I was dead, which has been kind of amusing. But they were, they find somebody that could address this. So we had a lot of fun talking about the jeans, and they reminded me, because I totally forgot about people using wire brushes or sandpaper to create a profile in the crotch area
of their equipment,
jeans.
So to
yes,
speak, or package,
equipment.
Or whatever the term was being used in those days.
But I think more to the point was they said, what was the attraction of the jeans? And I think there were a couple things. One is the fact that they buttoned. You could leave a button open. And leaving one button open is very different than having your zipper down. The other thing is, and I know this for a fact because as a gift they gave me a pair of vintage 1978 shrink-to-fit jeans, and when I put them on, I was reminded that there is definitely a lift and separate thing that occurs with the buttocks. and the jeans are cut differently in different years. And, of course, now we have people wearing their pockets down at their knees. But up there, it was the jeans were really, talk about a sexual signifier.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, Gay Radio from San Francisco. My guests have been photographer Hal Fisher, whose iconic 1977 photo series, Gay Semiotics, is now on display at Ratio 3 Gallery in San Francisco's Mission District, and Ratio 3 Associate Director Theo Elliott. The exhibit's up through June 27th, Saturday of Pride Weekend, and Fisher will be speaking at the gallery Friday evening, June 26th. Learn more at Ratio 3's website, ratio3.org. If you missed part of tonight's broadcast or just want to hear the whole thing again, you can on our website, outinthebay.org. It should be posted within an hour after broadcast. We'll try to have some of the photos up as well so you can see them. Out in the Bay is independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW for studio use and airtime, and thanks very much to tonight's studio engineer, Debbie Kennedy. As an independent production, we get no financial help from KALW nor from NPR. We rely on community support. Please join our friends and generous supporters, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Portola Valley, and donate at outinthebay.org. It's tax deductible because we're nonprofit. We'll thank you on the air only if you say it's okay. Thank you all so much. While you're there, outinthebay.org, sign up for free weekly podcasts, hear past shows, and download the Stitcher app to hear us on mobile devices. It's all free at outinthebay.org. I'm Eric Jansen. Thanks for listening. Thank you.